Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk Diaspora Forum, a platform where we discuss issues affecting Zimbabweans in the diaspora. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today we are talking about the increased figures of undocumented immigrants being deported from South Africa and the high cost the South African government is incurring in the process. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. In the U.S. presidential campaign, there's little to agree on between supporters of Kamala Harris and supporters of Donald Trump. From Southern California, Jenia Dulot brings us the story of two people selling rival campaign merchandise who are trying to lower the political temperature of their customers.
When California Democrat Sandra Roby saw a booth selling Donald Trump merchandise, she was frustrated by her party's low visibility in the community and decided to open a Kamala Harris booth.
Up until relatively recently, we did not promote our political beliefs out loud. It was something you just kept close to your heart and you lived respectfully amongst each other. But when Trump entered the stage, it all changed. It became kind of like World Federation Wrestling or a sports team, and we could no longer be invisible.
Orange County, California is a solidly Republican enclave in this overwhelmingly Democratic state. Republicans Elvie and Eddie Pantig don't like the Harris booth.
We don't want that.
No, you don't want them together, side by side?
No.
Why not?
Well, Orange County is supposed to be Republican, you know. And side by side is, maybe another corner,
in a separate corner, but not together.
California Republican Steve Lawrence runs the Trump merchandise booth. He says there was a bit of tension with Roby at first, but they eventually agreed to share the space.
Just because I'm Republican and she's Democrat, there's no reason that we can't coexist here in the same location. We have different feelings, different opinions about things. Certainly people wear their emotions on their sleeves, but we don't need to have hate that comes into the political views of both parties. We can coexist without having to be so meanful about it.
Democrat Susan Johnson says having the two stalls side by side is a good idea.
I think it's really smart. I think if people just get down and, talk to each other, that they can find a whole lot more in common.
Republican Zaid Habaibi says the stalls show Americans can get along without always agreeing.
This is the freedom that I speak out my mind and I tell what I believe in. I follow the democracy regulations in this country. In the meantime, the other party can do as well.
Roby and Lawrence say they have become friends over the last few months and watch out for each other to make sure they're both safe. They say their sign, "We both ask, please be nice," helps lower their customers' political temperatures. Jenia Dulo, VOA News, North Tustin, California.
Tichiremba nyaya sarudzo dziri kuitwa muno muAmerica mazuva gumi nematatu asara. Nhasi tiri kutarisa nezvemapato makuru maviri anoti Democratic Party neRepublican Party munhoroondo yatinopiwa naPraxedis Jeremiah naMarvelous Mhlanga nyauye veVOA Studio 7.
Kunyange hazvo America iine mapato ezvematongerwe enyika akati wandei munhoroondo yayo yose, mapato maviri chete anoti Democratic Party neRepublican Party kana kuti Grand Old Party. Regai tione kuti anoshanda sei.
Zviri pachena kuti pamapato aya ndipo pachasarudzwa mutungamiri wenyika sechave chigariro kubva muna 1856. Kukunda musarudzo kwemapato maviri aya hachisi chishamiso. Bumbiro remutemo ye United States of America haritauri nezvemapato ezvematongerwo enyika, uye George Washington mutungamiri weAmerica wekutanga vakayambira nezvemapato mumashoko avo ekuona kuoneka. Asi apova Washington vainge vogadzirira kusiya basa mapoka maviri akanga otatsurana muhurumende yavo kurwira utungamiri akabva ava mapato ezvematongerwo enyika ekutanga. Asi mukupera kwazvo mapato maviri chete ndiwo anosara aine rutsigiro rwakawanda. Mavotero emuAmerica ndeyekuti anenge akunda anobva atora zvigaro zvose. Kunyangwe hazvo izvi nezvimwe zvazvinobatsira uye zviri nyore, zvine dambudziko rekuti zvinokurudzira vanhu kuti vapinde muzvikwata mubato rimwe chete kuti vakwanise kukunda vavanopikisana navo avo vanoitawo zvimwe chetezvo. Asi zvichienzaniswa nedzimwe nyika dzine mapato akawanda, vamiriri vanosarudzwa nekuti bato rawana mavhoti mangani ropiwa zvigaro kana kuti proportional representation. Kusvika parizvino hapana bato rechitatu ratirakunda musarudzo yemutungamiri weAmerica. Vanenge vachitungamira bato rechitatu vanoshorwa vachinzi vanoda kungovhiringidza mapato maviri ane mukurumbira nekuvatorera mavhoti asi ivo vasina mukana wekukunda. Asi nekuda kwekusafara kwevamwe vavhoti nemapato maviri aya, sarudzo dzegore rino dzave nevamwe vanoti vanoda shanduko munyaya dzesarudzo vachiti vanogona kuvhoti votera mumwe mutungamiri kubva kubato rechitatu vachitarisa vanhu vakaita sava Cornel West vari kukwikwidza vakazvimirira.
Apo tange tiri kuwana dzidziso yekuti mapato emuAmerica anoshanda sei.
That was an explainer on the two main political parties in the USA ahead of the November 5 elections, narrated by Praxidis Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from VOA Studio 7. This is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. Back to our main topic. The South African government continues to enforce laws that see undocumented foreigners being deported back to their countries. Responding to questions raised by the opposition Economic Freedom Fighters, or EFF, in Parliament recently over concerns about the amount of money spent on deporting these illegal immigrants, Home Affairs Minister Leon Schreiber said 19,750 undocumented immigrants were sent back to their countries of origin between April and August this year, costing the South African government 52.8 million rand or US 2.9 million dollars. The figures show almost 100% increase from the 10,808 deportations in 2022-2023 financial year. Most undocumented immigrants who are being deported from South Africa are from Zimbabwe, Malawi, Tanzania, Nigeria, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC. Ongo wadio watariri, ni watereri tinogamchira mchirongwa chedu, che Live Talk Diaspora Forum. Apo tiri kutarisa nasi nyaya yezve kudzingwa kwezvizvarwa zvekune dzimwe nyika zviri muSouth Africa zvisina magwaro kana zviri kugara munyika iyi zvisina magwaro anozvibvumidza kunge zvichigara imomo kana kugara zviri kunze kwemutemo, uye kudhura kunonzi kuri kuita urongwa hwekuburitsa vanhu ivava uchidhurira hurumende yeSouth Africa. Vachitaura muparamende mumazuva mashoma adarika, gurukotara zvemukati meSouth Africa Valion Schreiber vakati vanhu zviuru gumi nezvipfumbamwe nemazana manomwe ane makumi mashanu vakadzoserwa kunyika dzavo kubva muna kubvumbi kusvika muna nyamavhuvhu gore rino, izvo zvakadya mari inoita 52.8 million rand kana kuti US 2.9 million dollars. Mapato anopikisa muSouth Africa kusanganisira reEFF anonzi ari kunyunyuta zvikuru neuwandu hwemari inonzi yashandiswa kudzosera vanhu ava kunyika dzavo. Vazhinji vacho vachinzi vanodzoka zvakare muSouth Africa pasina nguva. Before we bring in our panel to discuss this matter, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that just joined us, we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Before we bring in our online guests, today we are joined in our studios by journalist and activist Mr. Moskona Diwiti, who is also the executive director of Community Podium, who is visiting here in the United States of America. Welcome, Mr. Diwiti, to VOA in Washington, D.C.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and welcome. Our listeners and viewers maybe want to first know about your visit, the reason why you visited us here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm in Washington, D.C. in the United States for 10 months. I'm in a program that is called Hubert Humphrey Fellowship. It is a mid-career professional program that is designed to empower mid-career professionals in their different fields. Right now, I'm based in Arizona State University, where I'm in the Walter Cronkite School of Mass Communication, where we are 11 of us from different countries, who are media professionals in these countries. And the idea there is for, in this fellowship, is for us to develop ourselves in our career and also learn from the U.S. in terms of the media space, the professional development space. Right now in Washington, I'm in a global leadership forum where we are meeting different experts in different fields, including colleagues from different countries. We are over 140 Hubert Humphrey Fellowship. So it's a big thing.
It's a big program.
It's a big program, and we have met people from all around the world discussing global issues, discussing different issues. And I'm happy that yesterday I also had a discussion where I spoke about, you know, the intersection or the nexus between human rights and media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, Zimbabwe's many journalists, how did you find yourself being part of this process? Because if you are talking of Hubert Humphrey Fellow, that's a big program. How did you end up being selected?
It's a prestigious program, and I should highlight that I applied just like everyone else, but it was rigorous in terms of the application itself, the interviews, and until the final selection. I think I contribute in my small way in terms of journalism work, especially with the organization that I lead, Community Podium, that is really focusing on giving a voice to the marginalized communities. And we started off in southern Zimbabwe, which is the Matabeleland region, to say media should give a voice to everyone. And we want to then say, let's give also people, ordinary people, who may not have the chance to speak in platforms in the media, to speak about their lived realities on issues that affect them. So that is part of the reasons why probably I was considered and selected for the Hubert Humphrey prestigious program, because we contribute to the information ecosystem in Zimbabwe. We contribute to amplifying voices of the marginalized. We contribute in terms of creating a platform where people can engage. And you know, in Zimbabwe, we have 16 official languages. We try to also engage the respective communities. Mm-hmm. using the local languages, you know, in Pinga there is Tonga, in Wange there is Nambia, in Plumtree, my hometown, we use Kalanga. So it's a diverse region that has diverse languages. But we also say, let's also try to use media to promote local languages. Let's try to use media to reach out to the people in their respective languages. Let's also try to design a media that will allow us to get the stories that we ordinarily not get that easily because of the remoteness of these areas. Yes. And how we do it is we train young people from these respective areas to tell stories about their own communities. So it has helped us to connect with this community much easier and much better. But I believe that is the contribution that I made, that made me to be here today.
Thank you so much. And maybe you can explain in Isindebele how your community is going to benefit from your visit.
So ukuba kwami lapha kuqakatheke kakhulu kimi njengomhlali wakoBulawayo, njengesizalwane seMatabeleland. Kuqakathekile kunjalo lami ngizofunda lapha ukuthi ngizwisise ukuthi nxa sikhuluma ngezokusakaza, nxa sikhuluma ngemedia, sikhuluma ngani, njalo lapha bakwenza njani. Ulwazi lolu asulo lwami kuphela, ulwazi lolu ngizaluletha futhi ngikhaya. Ngizoxoxisana labantu abatsha abangama-journalist, ngizoxoxisana labafowethu abangama-journalist, ngizoxoxisana lomphakathi ukuthi hayi bantu, asisebenzenini simi kanje, singencedisana njani. Khathesi kulezinto ezihluphayo kakhulu, o misinformation, siyabona kuma-WhatsApp kungena ama-message achiyeneyo, amanyanga amanga soqiniso. Sizancedisana njani njengomphakathi ukuthi sibone ukuthi indaba eziliqiniso ziyasabalala ukudlula indaba ezingamanga. So mboni ngani lapha ngizofunda and nazelela into eziningi ezichazayo lami ngifisa ukuthi abanye abafowethu bancedise labo babuye kwi-UBET Humphrey Fellowship yona le engiyo, bazofunda labo. Ukukhanya kube kuningi ikakhulu lapho esiphilisana khona, kodwa i-community podium la iza improver ngendlela ade sikhankasa ngayo, ngendlela ade sisebenza ngayo, sixoxisane lani emhlubulweni weMatabeleland ngendaba eziqakathekekini.
Thank you so much. Siyabonga kakhulu. And we are going to discuss issues that are affecting Zimbabweans and other foreigners in South Africa, and understand that's a topic that you also want to discuss with us today. And let me now bring in some of our guests. We are now joined by our guest, Dr. Vusumuzi Suwanda, who is the chairperson of the African Diaspora Forum Network, and Mr. Luke Mufaro Dziti from the Zimbabwe Immigration Federation, who are both based in South Africa. How are you, gentlemen? Hello? Thank you so much. And Mr. Mufaro, are you there? Mr. Dziti, can you hear me? Okay, I think we are having problem connecting to Mr. Dziti, but let me start with you, Dr. Suwanda. Dr. Suwanda, the South African government is said to be continuing with their deportations of illegals. What are you seeing on the ground since you are based in South Africa?
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners. I hope I'm audible enough from coming up with the flu. So coming up with the flu, I'm hoping that my voice is audible enough. But nonetheless, yes, we have seen an increase in deportation attempts from the South African government. This has been ongoing for quite a while now. And at some stage, we have had to discuss with the officials that were doing deportation. And what the EFF has raised in Parliament is one of the things that, you know, as an organization that deals with the issues of legality, you know, and regularizing people, we've always advocated that people are properly regulated, and that the corruption that takes place at the Department of Home Affairs made it impossible to get people regularized. The officials were actually a catalyst in keeping people as irregular migrants in the country. Mm-hmm. But again, the issue of deportation was a mere waste of resources because the officials were using it as a conduit for, you know, conducting their corrupt activities. Because people are deported today, and it's not a full deportation that looks at what assets they have. If they are employed, who is employing them, if they have any benefits that must all be collected and paid, they have a family, the country, so that the person gets to protect holistically. And therefore, that was just a waste of time because it was known that immediately as the person is left at the baby's post, before the families and doctors that have taken them that far get back to Johannesburg, they are already back in Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
But so EFF is really something that we have been raising for many years, that this is a waste of time. The system needs to, one, be sensitive to the fact that some of these people are asylum seekers that cannot go back to their country because they fear for their lives and they'd rather by all means try and come back. And yet the system itself was inefficient.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Swanda. Mr. Jiti, are you there? Hello, vajiti muri kutinzwa here? Ndofunga vajiti havasi kunyatsondinzwa regai tinzwa kuti tingakwanisa here kunge tichikonekta zvakare panhare. But let me come to you, Mr. Diviti. You know, what is happening in South Africa is happening in other countries too, the issue of immigrants. And you recently visited some of the areas that are affected by immigrants here in the United States of America. Is there any comparison that you can make?
Thank you. We had a visit to Nogales in Arizona, in Nogales, Mexico, at the border wall. I actually saw the border wall for the first time. And speaking to different stakeholders there, including the border control themselves, the Mexican consular, the journalists there, the local leadership there, there are similarities there because everyone wants the American dream, and most of them are economic migrants, and some of them actually leave their country, Mexico, or go through Mexico with their entire families. So, you know, in these tents or safety places, there are people with small children, others, you know, with themselves. What is the same is our Zimbabwe and South Africa migration is really largely economic. People are looking, are going there for economic opportunities. There are challenges with unemployment in Zimbabwe. So people are looking for those opportunities. And these are bread and butter issues. You cannot decide to put a law. I remember in South Africa there was the ZEP permits that were there. I'm not sure if they've expired. But let's try to regularize, because what happens is now people can be deported. Tomorrow they find themselves back in South Africa again. How is the South African government going to ensure that there is smoothness in terms of this, recognizing the aspects of human rights, recognizing that it's not a crime to move to another country, other people are asylum seekers, how do we deal with those people, and how best can this between government of Zimbabwe and South Africa try to moderate this process? It's a very costly process, as the EFF has rightly debated it, but it's also an issue of how best can, because these people are contributing to the South African economy in a big way. They are actually tax
in
South Africa.
Thank you so much, yeah. Mr. Vita. I'll come back to you. We have a caller now. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Magadi Baba.
I'm good, but I'm not a caller. I'm Mr. Ndlovu. I don't know, the producer called me.
Mr. Ndlovu, yes. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Ndlovu. Yes, we've decided to bring you on to the show so that you give us your expertise on the issue of immigration deportations that are going on in South Africa. Some are saying they are illegal, some are saying they are costly to the South African government, and some are saying it's not being done properly because some of the people are running away from their countries because of political situations back there, but they are now forced back to go back to their countries. What's your take on this process?
My view is that it's a futile process, because what it does is the same people that are deported are going to be coming back. Because if someone has got their lives, their whole lives, where they live and work in South Africa, even if you arrest them from being undocumented and you deport them to Zimbabwe, the very next day they'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
So the South African government is just wasting its money. And they will continue wasting their money, because people are just going to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, more people are going to come back
than the ones that they actually deported.
But Mr. Dlovu, if the South African government surrenders and says, oh, because people are continue coming back and we are wasting a lot of money, isn't that going to open floodgates for foreigners to rush into South Africa?
The floodgates are already open. The floodgates are already open because in my area where I stay, for as an example, near in the Shasha area near Bed Bridge there, there's absolutely no border or nothing that stops anyone from just crossing the river into South Africa. So South African borders are actually open anyway, and people who want to come in and go out do that as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And since the economic situation in Zimbabwe is not getting any better, people have got to have food, or people have got to try and look after their families. And a lot of Zimbabweans find it much easier to get economic opportunities in South Africa. So they just keep coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that the South African government should actually do is to document the people who are in the country and they are not documented. Because I don't like this thing of saying someone is illegal. How can a person be called illegal? Because that person is just looking for some sort of documentation that they can get.
Thank you.
And then they'll become documented.
Thank you so much, Mr. Dlovu. Please do stay on the line. Let me go to Dr. Swanda. Dr. Swanda, you heard from Mr. Dlovu, who is a legal advisor. He's saying the best way to deal with this is to document these people. What is your organization doing? Because we understand you're also in talks with the South African government over this issue of making sure that all those who are deemed illegals are documented.
Well, look, thank you. Yes, true. The issue is South Africa, like any other country, has got its laws where people should not be coming into South Africa without proper documentation. But now, that being said, there is the ordinary process where people, a lot of people that are in South Africa because South Africa is a country that is a signatory to the 1951 Convention on, you know, refugees and asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people that are asylum seekers that have been in the system for over 10, 20 years, and their asylum seeker application has not been finalized simply because there is a lot of serious delays, you know, from the government itself. So, and there are people that, you know, end up becoming, you know, irregular or the so-called illegals when they have applied and they are in the system, but because the department has not been able to come back to them and give them a feedback and appropriate feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And the officials, they are always looking for bribes, and as a result, they create an unnecessary bottleneck that makes it impossible for people to have their document renewed or properly regularized.
Mm-hmm.
So, the problem of documenting people is not really a problem that should be looked at, you know, from one angle to say people are not documented.
Thank you.
But it must be looked at from the fact that the department itself is inefficient and is causing people to become, you know, irregular.
Thank you so much, Dr. Swanda. And Mr. Dimitri, your last word. How can this be dealt with? Because we saw here in the United States of America, they tried to build that wall that you said you saw, and still people were coming into America illegally.
I think it's complex, but again, governments should work around how to assist these people. Mm-hmm. At government to government level. The basics for me is these people are looking for livelihood. They are looking for life. So it would be difficult to put, no matter how big the wall is, people always find ways around it. The best is to regularize. If they are contributing to your economy, take them and you find ways to, you know, to have space for them.
Mm-hmm.
In that way. It will never stop. It's part of life.
Oh, thank you so much. That brings us to the end of our show. We would like to thank our guests, Dr. Vusumuzi Swanda, the chairperson of the African Diaspora Forum Network, Mr. Ngosikona Diviti, Executive Director, Community Podium, and Mr. Velimpini Dlovu, who is the legal advisor. My name is Jonga Kandemiri, saying let's meet again tomorrow.